It's been time now for the opinion page, and it's 2 weeks now since Barry Bonds hit a home run, number 445, and that leaves him just 10 short of Hank Aaron's record. The slump has done little to quiet his critics, however. Jamel Hill, a columnist at ESPN.com, recently asked God to smite Bonds before he breaks the record. I think there may have been some tongue in her cheek. The reason for the criticism, of course, is the widespread belief that Bonds cheated by using steroids. But Dave Zirin argues there's more to it. In an op-ed in yesterday's Los Angeles Times, Zirin called the Bonds bashing a hellacious double standard, and he wonders why many white players with the same steroid cloud over their heads do not face such intense criticism. If you're a fan or a critic, call in and say if you think the criticism is fair. Is there a double standard, and is that because Bonds is African-American? The number is 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. You can also weigh in at our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. That's all one word. Dave Zirin joins us here in Studio 3A. He writes for The Nation and for Slam Magazine. His upcoming book is titled Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. Nice to have you back on the program today.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you.
And I have to begin by asking you not about Barry Bonds, but Jason Giambi. On Friday, in an interview in USA Today, he said, I'm sorry I ever used that stuff.
Yes.
We assume he meant steroids. Now, in the same leaked grand jury testimony where Bonds indulged in what many regard as unbelievable prevarication, flaxseed oil, Giambi admitted steroid use. He's not said so openly in public. That remark on Friday was considerably closer than he's come before, and he's now going to have to talk to the commissioner's office. There's reports the Yankees may want to void his contract. There's a white player getting into trouble for steroid use.
But it's also a white player who's come forward to speak openly about the issue, and I give Jason Giambi a tremendous amount of credit for that. And he said he wanted to talk about, honestly, about the stuff he had used, and we all know he wasn't talking about Flintstone vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And so we give Giambi all the credit in the world for stepping forward and for trying to speak honestly about the issue. Unfortunately, the response to him has actually been also very negative from the press. I mean, they're acting like it's Dom DeLuise talking about diet tips. Like, no one wants to hear about steroids from Jason Giambi. But the thing that Giambi said that's absolutely true, which I echo in my article about Bonds, is that the issue of steroids is not a player issue. It's a Major League Baseball issue. It's a media issue. It's a fan issue. It's so extends beyond the shoulders of one player. And that's what I find so difficult and troubling about the anti-Bonds hysteria.
It's not just a player's issue. It certainly was a player's issue. They took the stuff.
Right. But as one player said to me off the record, he said I could use this quote without using his name. He said, you know, there's something ridiculous about the fact that when it comes to distribution, it's a team issue. But when it comes to punishment, it's an individual issue. And what we were talking about was the way that the steroid hearings on Capitol Hill brought forward players to speak under the hot lights. It brought forward the commissioner and the union heads, but there wasn't one owner in front of Congress. There wasn't one trainer put in front of Congress. There wasn't any serious effort to address how these steroids get into the locker room, how they're distributed among players. It becomes much more about scapegoating and media headlines. And
well, now there's
yes.
been a former clubby for the Mets who's been indicted mm-hmm. and is speaking with not just federal authorities, but also with the commission that was appointed by the commissioner of baseball to look into this, headed by former Senator George Mitchell. And so he's facing severe penalties as well.
Yes, he is. But what I would like to see more than anything is for people in the media to turn down the volume a little bit on the anti-Bonds hysteria in particular. Not because I think Barry Bonds needs any defense from little old me or anything,
mm-hmm.
or because I'm the number one member of the Barry Bonds fan club. That's not it. Although I do think he's a remarkable baseball player, and we should remember as we have this discussion that if steroids made you hit a baseball, I could go to Gold's Gym right now and field an all-star team. But the thing that I do want to raise is that what Bonds is taking in the media is so above and beyond the purported crimes. I mean, he's been compared to a child molester, O.J. Simpson, a mass murderer. And after a while, you just have to sort of scratch your head and say, can we be grown-ups about this, please?
Well, it's not just the media. It was Kurt Schilling, a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, who said
yes.
Bonds cheated on the game, cheated on his wife, and cheated on his tax record.
Once again, can we be a grown-up, please, about this? The same question goes to Kurt Schilling.
Let's get some listeners in on this conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk at npr.org. Our guest is Dave Zirin, who writes for The Nation and Slam Magazine. His op-ed appeared in the Los Angeles Times, and we'll begin with Dave. Dave calling us from Delaware.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. I don't think race really plays an issue in this at all. I think the bottom line is he cheated. Whether he's white or an African American, I really don't think that comes into it at all, really. And the fact that he's trying to break the record of another African American, you know, just kind of invalidates that argument.
Hank Aaron, of course, who got death threats when he was in the pursuit of Babe Ruth. And Dave Zirin, a lot of people raise this.
Yes.
He's chasing another black man's record.
Yes. And, you know, and I'm certainly not arguing that people who are rooting against Bonds are racist or taking a racist position. You could be against Barry Bonds and spend weekends listening to the Harlem Boys Choir, as far as I'm concerned. But the bigger, I think it would take a willful ignorance to say that race plays no role in how this discussion is happening and how it's unfolding in the media. I mean, you have these
horrible... The bigger issue is how Major League Baseball has treated this or not treated this issue. I mean, this has been an issue for a long time. And white players, black players, Latino players, it's rampant. And baseball fell asleep on it. And, you know, it's finally starting to come to light. And, you know, with someone about to break the biggest record in sports... You know, I think that's why it's getting the attention it deserves. And Bonds, if you look at him, I mean, he's an incredibly talented baseball player. Like you said earlier, sure, you know, being strong doesn't mean you can hit home runs. He's got incredible, you know, eye coordination, and he's a talented player. But, you know, you look at his pictures from when he was with the Pirates and look at him now, and it's obvious. I mean, his head has grown. You know, no matter how long...
Dave, neither you nor I is a hatter, so we'll just leave that part alone.
But one thing we haven't discussed yet is this ESPN ABC News poll, which was really the impetus for me writing the column, which showed that by a number of 74% to 28%, it was the gap between African Americans who want to see Bonds break Aaron's record versus whites who want to see break Bonds' record. And that gap was troubling to me. And what also was troubling to me was when I would be on mainstream sports radio and what is considered more traditionally African-American sports radio, and how it felt like I was in two different universes in having this discussion. I mean, that's my whole point about the issue of race and racism. It has so clearly colored, for lack of a better word, this discussion. And the vitriol and bombast from a lot of the media, I think, is having a divisive role in the country as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get another caller in on the line. And this is Mariana. Mariana's with us from Savannah in Georgia.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Sure.
Although I agree with your caller that there is a double standard inherent in the treatment of the white and black players, this division along racial lines, I'd like to hear you speak on perhaps another double standard, which is much more disturbing to me, in that we're talking about individuals who are admitting to using illegal drugs, not Schedule I narcotics, certainly, but engaging in illegal behaviors, and yet there's never any discussion of legal ramifications. Whereas if Barry Bonds, let's say, were found with an ounce or less of marijuana, he would undoubtedly be facing mandatory minimums. I'd just like to steer the discussion in that way, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, Mariana, thanks for the call.
Just a terrific question. There are two things to say about that. I mean, the first is that Barry Bonds is facing legal scrutiny. I mean, George Mitchell, who you mentioned earlier. For perjury, but also for steroid use. And once again, this is one of the disturbing things that I think is out there, is how the Justice Department and the federal government is looking at Bonds as if he's the great white whale, once again, pardon the expression, and their Ahab. And
fair to say, at the center of this Balco laboratory, which was highly investigated, several people have gone to jail already.
They've approached players about wearing wires. They've approached players about trying to entrap him. Players have come forward to say they've received pressure from the federal government. I mean, it's a very ugly scenario, once again, focused on one individual, when I think we could have a very interesting discussion about the way pharmaceuticals were deregulated in 1994 in a bipartisan fashion by the Congress, which led to having GNC stores in every shopping mall in this country and the rise of pharmaceuticals and weightlifting supplements. This is a part of the story, once again, that isn't discussed nearly as much as it needs to be.
And again, Jason Grimm, a pitcher, a journeyman pitcher, was found last year to be importing steroids and is facing very serious penalty for possession, among other things.
Right. And Jason Grimsley.
A white pitcher, I should
say. Yes, a white pitcher linked to Bonds. And this is exactly why George Mitchell hasn't called Bonds in front of his committee that's being run by Major League Baseball, because the feds are saying, He's our whale. We're the ones who want to land him. And once again, it's like the guy is a baseball player, for goodness sakes. We need to have an honest, real discussion about steroids, issues of decriminalization, and their role in our society and in sports, and stop acting like Renault in Casablanca. You made a Casablanca reference earlier with the smoking, but I'll do one by saying, like, I'm shocked to find that there's gambling going on here, that there's steroids going on here, and then here are your winnings, sir. Mm. This is what we have to discuss.
Our guest is Dave Zirin, a writer for The Nation and Slam Magazine, author of the forthcoming Welcome to Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. His op-ed on steroids and the double standards regarding Barry Bonds appeared in the Los Angeles Times. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. And let's go to Buck, and Buck is with us from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi, Buck. You're on the air.
Well, God bless Talk of the Nation, and God bless Dave Zirin.
Oh.
I mean, talk about willful ignorance. I'm a white guy. I'm from San Francisco, and I'm so tired of white people acting like racism doesn't exist in America. Zirin's 100% right on everything he's saying, and let me put a plug in. If you want to hear more, you should Google him and subscribe to Edge of Sports, because I'm so sick of this stuff. I've been an athlete all my life. I'm 55 years old. Any athlete that doesn't think there's racism in sports is exercising willful ignorance. And Dave, what do you think we could do to change that?
Mm. Well, thank you. First of all, I'm not related to that last caller. I want that to be clear.
He's not your cousin.
No cousin. And but I think the number one thing we can do to change it is to address it and discuss it openly. I mean, like I wrote in the column, I was so disturbed to be on a talk radio show that's considered African-American radio, and people calling me up with actual concern about, do you think harm is going to come to Barry Bonds? Do you think someone is going to try to hurt him as he approaches the record? Like, they literally feel a sense of fear about the hysteria surrounding his march to the record. So I think the number one thing we need to do is talk about things like the fact that Barry Bonds and his family has gotten death threats as he's marched towards. That's a very sad echo of Henry Aaron's march to breaking Babe Ruth's record. I mean, very different times, more polarized times, but I think it's an interesting marker of the progress we have and haven't made. We have to address this stuff openly and address it openly. In the ESPN ABC poll, even white fans who feel like Bonds is being treated unfairly, practically none cited race as a reason why. They more cited, like, well, he's got a bad attitude. And it's like, my goodness, if every athlete with a bad attitude was kept out of the Hall of Fame, it would be like dinner for one.
Buck, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can get, this is Jim's on, another caller from San Francisco. Jim, go ahead, please.
Well, just following up on what you said about his attitude, you know, As a father with young kids who are supposed to look to have their kids look to ball players and sports to set an example, the obvious thing is that he's not a nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's been an obnoxious, self-centered, anti-team player since the beginning of his career. And maybe if he was a little nicer, maybe people would actually treat him with a little bit more respect. And maybe if he was a little bit more humble, a little bit more apologetic, maybe people would treat him with a little bit more respect.
Well, I think that's certainly true, and that's part of the Barry Bonds story, is that he came into Major League Baseball with a chip on his shoulder. His father was a Hall of Fame talent named Bobby Bonds, who never made the Hall of Fame, who was also a union activist, who was, I think he played on 9 different teams
Hall
in his career.
Hall of Fame talent, but did not have the statistics for the Hall of Fame.
Yes,
not close to it.
Not, yeah, not close. But just people said, I mean, he had more talent than Willie Mays coming up, Bobby Bonds did. But he played on 9 different teams, he was shuttled around the league, and Barry Bonds was raised with this idea that the press is your enemy and that you shouldn't trust them, particularly white media, for that matter. And sports media has remained stubbornly white, even as so much of the sports industry has become more diverse. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think if a player is white or he's black and he's obnoxious and he doesn't do anything to actually uphold kind of the sport, then he's going to get slammed for it. You know, Mark McGwire didn't get any flack until that ridiculous presentation at the hearing.
But that's a terrific
example.
He got
all kind of garbage back. stands because of the way he acted.
But that's a great example of the double standard,
right,
though, because Mark McGwire, I mean, in his playing career, was not the sort of person you'd want to be trapped in an elevator with. Yet the media was willing to paint a picture of him as being this ruddy-faced Paul Bunyan. Yet Barry Bonds didn't get nearly the kind of free ride. Is Barry Bonds the kind of person you'd want to be in an elevator with? Probably not. But most star athletes aren't. It's about how the media chooses to transfer these personalities into your living room.
But getting back
I like to think that I'm not influenced as much by the media as you think, and that I'm making my opinion about someone based on what I know about him and the way he acts. And you know, maybe the media is, you know, influencing or trying to influence how we act about it. But I, as an individual, I think that my problem with him is the way he acts and the way he's exemplified himself throughout baseball. And I don't think you set a very good example.
Well, Jim, thanks for the call. We just have a little time left with
you.
But the media is one thing. Major League Baseball is another. Mm-hmm. Hank Aaron has already said he does not plan to be there when the record is tied and broken.
That's true.
And the commissioner has yet to decide what to
do. That's true. The commissioner has the official position of the commissioner's office is that there is no decision. Behind the scenes, there are people trying to convince Bud Selig, who is a student of history, of baseball history, to be there. So this isn't a stain on his record the way it's a stain on Bowie Kuhn's record. It was an embarrassment that Bowie Kuhn wasn't there when Henry Aaron broke Babe Ruth's all-time home run record, and I hope Bud Selig doesn't follow suit, not because I care so much about the welfare of Barry Bonds, but for the larger message it sends to the country.
Dave Zirin, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dave Zirin writes for The Nation and for Slam Magazine. His upcoming book is Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. We have a link to his op-ed on Bonds bashing at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And you can also find information there on how to download our show podcasts. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.